Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Booyah! Booyah, booyah, booyah. We're just going to kind of now spend a little bit of time in God's Word. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. And it's really a text that I kind of grabbed in response to one of the questions that we're going to be engaging with a little bit this morning. And okay, here's the question. Here's the question that I want to engage with this morning. Now, this is interesting because this is a question. Okay, well, we got it up already. But here's the deal. This isn't going to be a question that, like, you're going to be like, "Whoa, man, that's a really tough one." You're probably not going to think that necessarily, but it is actually if you're the person who's asking the question. Does that make sense? And so here's the question. How do a couple of new believers actually grow spiritually? How do a couple new believers actually grow spiritually? See, that's not like one of the questions like, you know, why does suffering exist in the world? Or I mean, there's lots of questions of hell and all these kinds of questions, which are great questions. Bring those babies on. But this one's not like, man, okay, that's not a barn burner or something like that. Unless you're this person, unless you're somebody who, have you ever been like woke up in the middle of the night and you're just like, you don't know exactly where you are? You ever have that? You don't know exactly what's going on around you, and you start to do weird stuff. I mean, it's kind of like the sleepwalking thing or something, right? I mean, my brother, I remember him like walking to he walked through the kitchen to the garbage can and started to like unzip his pants. Whoa, Traff. Whoa, buddy. That's not the toilet, buddy, right? You ever have that? I've had that. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like trying to squash a bug under the pillow. You ever do that one? Even when you know that you're like, okay, I'm sleeping. This is going to be embarrassing. Jackie's going to be like, what are you doing? But you still are like, I got to kill that bug. Because you just kind of are a little bit disoriented. See, when you wake up, when you've been living your life in a certain way, and then you get woken up to the gospel, it's a little just disorientating. You're just kind of like, where am I? I've been thinking about all of life in this particular context, in this particular, through this kind of vision or this kind of lens, and now it's all changed. And this person, for this person, it's really a question. How do I grow in my spiritual walk? How does faith kind of grow? And does faith grow? And, you know, we know that in 2 Thessalonians, actually, the Apostle Paul writes there, he actually says, your faith is growing. Your faith is growing. So we know faith grows. See, sometimes we think of faith as simply a ticket. Once I have faith, then I get to go to heaven when I die. And we start to treat it a little bit like that. Like once I'm good, then nothing else in my life changes. I just get to die and go to heaven, and I get to avoid going to that other place, right? And sometimes we start to live our lives almost like that. And the reality is that's too simplistic. Yes, when you die and you have faith, yes, you get to go to heaven. And yes, that's a huge part of it. Yes. But that's not the only thing. God has more for you, even starting now, even starting today. And he wants to actually bring increase to that. So it's not just I have faith and I get to go to heaven someday and now I'll just kind of, you know, just kind of waiting that baby out the next 60 years till I get to just take my ticket and drop it off at the train station. No. There's actually something about this question that's really profound. How can I grow? What does it look like to grow in my faith? And so John 15, where we're going to spend some time, John 15 kind of unpacks this a little bit, and I want to spend some time there. Let's go into just a quick prayer, and then we're going to launch into really three things that I'm pulling from this text, three main points that I'm pulling from this text that helps us grow. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for this time now that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receiving your word in all of its truth. Work, God, now work mightily in our hearts and in our lives. Let this not be a word that enters only into our ears, but let it be a word that enters also into our hearts. Help us to hear from you right now. Not Seth, not little tips, not little thoughts. Truth. Please, God, bring that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. So here's my three points that I want to talk about for growth. The first one is one that's going to throw you off your game a little bit. I don't even like it, but it comes just kind of straight at us from the text. And so we have to talk about it. The first way in which God actually, and we're not going to talk about all the ways, okay? These are the three that are coming from this text. One of the ways that actually we grow in our faith is through, are you so excited? Suffering. Yay. Yeah, exactly. So excited to be part of this. You know, this is kind of when you get up and you just kind of go grab a donut or something and slowly slide out the back door. Yeah, through suffering. Take a look at the text. Check it out. John 15, verse 1. Here's what it says. I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking here. Okay, this is in my Bible, it's in red. Okay, when it's in red, it's Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He prunes. If I am a tree, if you were a tree, you know when the worst time of the year would be? It'd be around pruning season, right? I mean, this is the time of the year where, like, the tree gets cut. It gets beat up a little bit, you know? Whether it be my tree, which sometimes has literally had a chainsaw getting taken to it, or whether it be just the little clippers, whatever it might be, the reality is when you get pruned, that's not a big deal if you're the pruner. But if you're the thing getting pruned, you're the thing getting cut up, you're the thing getting stuff hacked off of you, that's not fun. There's some serious suffering language being talked about here. And the reality is that we undergo suffering. This is promised to Christians. This is promised to the new believer who has their faith in Jesus. This isn't the most exciting thing to be like, woohoo, you know, join Christianity. It's going to be a ball. There's actually going to be some serious suffering that comes our way. It's actually going to be through that suffering that God works in such a way as to increase. Notice that. Notice that the pruning is that which kind of keeps pressing the blooming. See what I'm saying? The increase of fruit comes through how? Through taking some stuff off that's blocking, maybe shade. It's too shady. There's not enough light getting to certain parts of the vine or the tree or whatever it might be. Sometimes it's got to get cut down. You do this with your shrubbery. You do this with your trees. And we know the benefits of it. So what's he talking about here? Well, there's lots of different things, and we've talked about this before as a church, but we just got to rehash it. There's lots of different things that can be in mind as we talk about suffering, because suffering can come to us in different ways. See, one of the ways in which the early church, for example, is going through suffering is literal, like persecution. And we have Christians around the world today who are literally being persecuted. And we're starting to see a little bit of that here. Yeah, I can talk about it. Come on, let's be honest. If you're a Christian in North Korea, if you're a Christian in China, if you're a Christian in some of the places in the Middle East, come on, they're undergoing some serious stuff. I mean, they're having acid being poured on them. I met this lady not too long ago. She had acid poured on her face for being a Christian and not rejecting her faith. Okay? She'd been shot multiple times. They tried to kill her in the hospital. Okay? I mean, this is some serious persecution that Christians around the world even today are undergoing. That's just a reality. I'm not afraid of somebody coming in and just killing me for being a Christian. We don't have to deal with that. So what does it look like for us to suffer still? Because it's true. I mean, Peter talks about this. First Peter talks about the reality is that we're going to undergo various kinds of trials. And it's going to be trials that we go under that actually brings refinement to our faith. It's like getting taken and put through the fire. And as you go through the fire, you come out on the other end with a refinement process that's taken place, and the good stuff comes out on the other end. And so as believers, when someone close to us dies, is that not a kind of suffering that we have to undergo? As we deal with death, even though it's kind of over there, but it's not. It's close to us. You know, I loved them. It was my mom. It was my dad. It was my brother. It was my uncle. It was my grandpa. It was my grandma. Is that not a kind of trial that we have to undergo? As somebody close to us dies? And every night in our family devotions, we're praying for actually four different people right now with cancer. Talk about getting the news that you have cancer. Is that not a kind of suffering that you have to undergo? Or even the kind of thing that my family and I have to suffer in praying for healing and strength and those kinds of things. We actually begin to suffer alongside those people. Is that not a kind of trial that we're undergoing? God, why are you not answering our prayer? Why are you not bringing healing? Are you kidding me? We're praying every night for the past years on this baby. Come on, come on, come on. Trial, suffering. What about the suffering of having to say no to sin, even though we want to say yes to sin? You ever been in that one? You ever suffer through knowing that, man, I shouldn't do that, but I really want to do that? Yeah. Saying no to ungodliness. I know that that's not okay, but there's a part of me that desires that. There's a part of me that would like to lean into that. There's a part of me that would like to move into that. The part of me that would like to kind of follow through with that. I'm going to resist that. There's suffering that goes on there. That's a trial. Maybe it's just a hard time. Maybe it's just a moment of a season of life that you're in right now where there's some serious struggles. The reality is this: Christians suffer. This is one of my big problems. This is one of my big problems with the prosperity gospel stuff. Even though prosperity texts in the Bible are true, and we need to make sure we're not just throwing out kind of the baby with the bathwater when we say prosperity gospel is terrible. No, that's not actually true. There's plenty of prosperity stuff in the Bible that's true. But you gotta bring them together. There's also a lot of stuff about trials and suffering and hardship. In this world, you will have trials and tribulation, Jesus says. And so as Christians, we can expect suffering to come our way. I actually begin to get concerned when everything is always simply so good. That actually can be concerning. When life is always just good and good and good and good and good. You ever met somebody that really never went through something tough? They never went through something. Whatever that, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They're kind of just like spouting off or whatever. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You haven't gone through something. Suffering. And God uses suffering. God uses suffering to actually bring about increase of faith. It's not fun. And here's the one thing you can't say. You can't just say suffering is just good. You can't move there. Well, you know, because and then this is what we do. We screw this up when we talk to people. Oh, I'm so glad you're going through that. God is increasing your faith. Well, easy now. You know what I'm saying? Have you had those people? I've had those people say stuff like that to me in the middle of suffering. Not like that. They say it in a little gentler way, but I know what they're saying. They're misunderstanding it. The reality is it's not like God is excited about suffering. It's simply that in the context of suffering, God uses it for his glory. And he uses it to chip away at the edges of our lives. He uses it to chip away at our pride. He uses it to chip away at our self-centeredness. He uses it to chip away at all sorts of things. And he refines us, and he refines us, and he sends us through the fire. And man, there is a sense in which we rejoice in that. One of the ways in which faith grows, one of the ways in which your spiritual life grows is actually through suffering. A guy named Luther, he's a 16th century theologian. In one of his devotions that I read on a regular basis, he says this, and this caught me. I want to read this to you, this quote. He says this, when we begin to believe, so that's the question, that's the context, you see that? When we begin to believe, God doesn't abandon us, but he lays a holy cross upon our backs to strengthen our faith. The gospel is a powerful word, but it cannot do its work without trials. No one will discover its power unless they experience it. The gospel can show us its power only when there is a cross and where there is suffering. Because it's a word of life. It's a word of life. It must exercise all its power in death. If dying and death are absent, then it can do nothing. No one would discover that it's stronger than sin and death. You know, you might say something like the Apostle Paul, where sin increases, their grace does too. Well, that doesn't, don't go after it. And then he says this, that's why God imposes the cross on all believers. He wants us to experience and demonstrate God's power. I love that. Does that teach you something? See, because oftentimes when we think of Christianity as becoming a Christian and then life just gets good and it's actually only good when I'm in his will, you'll hear people talk like this. The problem with that, okay, is that it becomes all based on feelings. And so if I'm feeling good, then I'm rocking and rolling. I've had people look at me in the eye and say to me, life is better now. I feel better. It's good. And I'm like, dude, you continue to reject what God would have you do. In the name of feeling good, they move into sin. If you don't think that happens, man, I see that happen all the time. In my own life, in other people's lives, that's just the reality. And some of it is because we don't understand that just because there's suffering, it doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. No. It might be right where God's got you. It's not the fun worldview to hear. I get it. The better one, right, that we like and our kind of itching ears like is like individualism and self-centeredness, right? All the things that our culture teaches us. It's a narrow way. Suffering is actually a way in which God increases faith. What's the second way from our text that we can see an increase of faith? Listening. Suffering. Listening. Take a look at the text. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There's a real difference in identity between the vine and the branch, isn't there? There's a difference, and that's what's being pushed here, and sometimes that gets overlooked in this text. There's a difference between the vine and the branch. And the branch is supposed, what is he saying? Abide, stay close to me. You know, I asked Fred this morning because I knew he had some different vines and stuff in his backyard. This is What is this? A grapevine. This is a grapevine I asked him to grab. And here it is. This is a grapevine with no grapes. with no grapes. Here's a vine. What is this? I don't even know. Is this the vine? No, that's the branch, right? The whole thing's a branch. Okay. I guess you wouldn't want to probably bring in your vine, would you? It probably would not be good. The branch. What happens if we leave it sitting here for too long? Right? It's going to die. Already, by the very fact we've cut it off, it's not really in a great state. Already, I mean, we try to maybe keep it alive for a little bit, keep it green so you can kind of see it up here. But already, this baby's not doing so hot. This text of abide, stay close to me. Remain in me. Listen to my word. Hear me. My sheep know my voice. They can hear me when I'm talking. I guess my question is simply this, something like, how are you doing with listening to Jesus? How are you doing with being in his word? How are you doing with, okay, let's get as specific as opening up the Bible and just hearing from him, allowing him to shape you and change you. Is this a priority in your life? Do you actually see a connection between hearing from God on a daily basis and the connection that's there with abiding in him, remaining close to the source, letting it feed you? You know, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are we allowing God and his voice to feed us? Are we allowing him to keep us green? Are we allowing him to grow our faith? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're answering the question, how do we grow in our faith? One of the ways in which you grow in your faith, I would say, is actually opening up the Bible and reading it on a daily basis. How are we doing with that as a church? I mean, this is why I'm like, free Bibles, free Bibles. And we try to buy good Bibles. You can actually buy cheap Bibles. Did you know that? You know, like $4 or whatever, you can get like 80 of them. You know, but no, like, let's get people some good Bibles. Let's hook them up with something that they can open up and they can highlight and they can write in and they can circle and dot and ask questions in. And yeah, I don't know, I struggle with this one. I don't know if I like this one. Be in the Word. This past week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I was listening to this atheist on YouTube. And it was really fascinating because he actually was saying this. This is what he said. He said, when it comes to being an atheist, one of the things I highly encourage people to do is read the Bible. That's what he said. He's like, read the Bible and ask questions. Because in this particular situation, he clearly read the Bible and he asked some questions and he didn't like what he heard and he rejected the word and he became an atheist, okay? And so he's saying, you want to be an atheist? Go read the Bible. And I'm like, keep preaching, baby. Keep preaching. Keep it going, baby. Keep it going. This guy's working for us, you know? You know, like, send the guy a check, you know, put the atheist up there too. I mean, I love it. Yes, I'm in complete agreement with this guy. Open up the Bible, get into it, start asking questions about it. Let it speak to you. Don't get me wrong. It's not like this is magic. It's not like it's, you know, if I read 5 chapters, then I come out with, you know, the rabbit out of the hat or something. That's not what it is. But we actually begin to engage with it. We begin to ask questions of it. We begin to grow in its knowledge. I mean, I'm amazed as I look at my own life, at some of the things I've read and just in reading about it and as I kind of develop, just learning more and more. And I have so far to go. Like my dad always says, the more you learn, the more you know, you realize you don't know anything. You know what I mean? The more you learn, the more it's like, holy smokes, I don't know jack. So I'm definitely not saying anything like trying to elevate. I'm just saying, the more I learn, the more I grow, as I look at it, it's like I continue to establish further roots as I'm in God's word and as I'm asking questions and I'm bouncing that off other guys and I'm sharing and I'm connecting. And man, this is, I really do believe this stuff. yes, yes, yes. And it's just like, yeah, yeah. And as I go through life and as I'm reading, yeah, baby, I do actually believe this. This is what it's all about, baby. This is my worldview. This is how I see life. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God and what he's done for me. I mean, the more I'm in it, the more I'm actually growing and just like, yes, abide in me. And according to Barna, the number one excuse is I don't prioritize it in my life. It's just not a priority. That's concerning to me. That's concerning to me. Romans 10, 17 says what? How does faith come? How does faith come? Seeing cool stuff happen? Lots of people saw Jesus do a lot of cool things. Experiencing some powerful moment where somebody gets raised from the dead. And Lazarus came up out of the grave and they want to kill him again. How can we put Lazarus back to dead? How can we kill him again? Not how can we put Lazarus back to dead. I don't think we have grammar teacher in here, but I'm just so thankful for that. Do we? Okay, praise the Lord. So, I mean, it's not just experiencing something cool. It's about hearing the word of God and believing it. It's about hearing God's word and God granting to you faith in where the Spirit wills. Staying close to the source. Stay close to the source. You can't go off and do your own thing and allow the culture to continue to shape you and mold you and think that, my little one-time connection with church or something on Sunday, and that's good enough. Come on. Do you actually believe that? Nobody believes that. You know, I'm starting to see, this is the time of the year in Texas where true lawn champions begin to emerge. You know what I mean? Those of you who water your grass on a regular basis, you're awesome. You're the people I envy as I drive around. I'm just like, it's just so green. And you're just like, that's awesome. But we can't afford gallons and gallons of water to just dump on our lawn. I mean, some of you, you know, that's how you want to roll. But our grass is like dying. Y'all's dying. Some of your grass is dying. It's just that time of year, right? You pull the source of nutrients. You pull the source of water and moisture on the grass, it's going to die. The heat's going to come, the heat's going to come, the heat's going to come, and unless those roots, I mean, this is another parable, we don't have time, but this is another parable of Jesus. Unless those roots are going down into the ground, hearing and abiding, abiding and hearing, you're going to die. And I'm talking spiritually. You will die. You had faith, it sprung up, and it dies. Abide in me. Abide in me. Hear my word. Stay close to the source. Last thing is another grammar word that doesn't exist. Suffering, listening, and togethering. I don't think that's a word, but I'm just going to roll with it. Togethering. This is something in the text, it's not just one verse, it's really the whole chapter that stands out when you read it in the Greek, okay? And this is often in the scriptures, so I'd actually encourage you to just kind of learn this. But if you just go into the text, you'll see that it's talking you. But in the Greek, it's actually plural y'all. That's how it is. Texas, it actually helps us, okay? I've taught this before, but it's talking about y'all. It's not just you abiding with Jesus. It's y'all abiding with Jesus. There's a real togetherness in this. There's a real community, life together. It's about stronger together, right? It's about doing life with other people who are right in the trenches with you, who sin just like you, who make mistakes just like you, who have questions just like you. I mean, that's one of the benefits of this series that really was a blessing to me is how many people have questions? Yeah, we got questions about God and faith and church. We got questions about all sorts of things. That's okay. And in the context of doing life together, man, what a blessing that can be. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I think I've maybe quoted him before in this book, Life Together. This is what he says. The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. The physical presence of other believers. What a joy. What a blessing that is. That is something we take so for granted. That is something that we almost despise it. I'm going to use that. It's a strong word because nobody would say it like that. But our lives as we live it out almost look as if it's like, I don't need that. I don't need Christian community. I don't need to be around people who will challenge me and critique and say, hey, man, I don't know about that. Faith grows through suffering. Faith grows through listening to his word. And faith really does grow in togethering with others. It's not just you. People that say, I'm good. This is me and Jesus in the deer stand. No. It's not just you and Jesus in the deer stand. I love hunting too. But it's not just you and Jesus in the deer stand. It's not just you and Jesus, whatever. It's us. It's the church, the community of saints, the community of believers, the community, the bride of Christ, the body. How are you doing with these things? How are you doing? These are gifts. God working through suffering. And I know that that's a struggle for some of you still, but look at Jesus on the cross. Is that not where Jesus displays his greatest power? Through the place where hell sat on his shoulders? And he experienced a suffering that we will never have to experience? It's the cross is foolishness to our world, but what does Paul say? It's where the power, for the believer, it's the very power of God. Listening to his word, what is it, 12 verse 4? The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Pierces to the spirit, to dividing the joints and the marrow. Gets deep down inside of us, the word of God. Are we listening to it? Are we doing life with others? You know, this text today is all about the vine and the branches. It's all about the vine and the branches, right? And we take our little vine, and sometimes what we try to do is we try to throw it on the ground, okay? And we're like, okay, how can we make this baby grow? And so we throw some manure on it, okay? We throw water on it. We throw all sorts of things after it so that maybe that baby can grow. But listen, the only way this baby's going to grow is if it's connected to the vine. You can do nothing apart from me. John 15, verse 5. Look at this. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever's connected to me, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The Holy Spirit works this stuff and connects us to him. He's the one who begins to work through these things. And we begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as we open up our Bibles, as we join a small group or get connected in some way to community with the believers, the fellowship of the saints, as we begin to go through suffering in such a way with a certain perspective that's different than the way the world looks at it. And this, listen, this is my last point. This is kind of a takeaway point. All of this is not... It's for a different purpose than we sometimes think. It's not to only grow in our spiritual, but the question is why? To what end? And the text actually tells us. Look at this. Now this, man, this should bring you just, are you kidding me? Look at this. Look at verse, verse 11 and verse 17. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Why am I talking about this? For the sake of joy. And then look at 17. These things I command you so that you will love one another. This moves us. When you're connected to the vine and you begin to grow through these things, it's for the purpose of joy. It's for the purpose of love. What an incredible thing. What an incredible thing that God is doing in yours and mine and our lives together. Bringing to us joy. Bringing to us love for others. This is a message that should captivate people. This is a message that's what I need. That's what our world does need. And it's in Jesus Christ. It's in the vine. He's gone to the cross for you. He loves you like you wouldn't believe. Or he loves you like you should believe. He loves you like crazy. He's died for you. He's risen for you. He continues to supply you with food as you remain connected to him. He's changing you. He's growing you. If you're a new believer this morning, or maybe you've been around the block a few times, he wants to grow you. He wants to increase your joy, and he wants to increase your love for other people. Let's pray. Lord, as we unpack this message today, I just give you thanks and praise, God, for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for the incredible love that you have shown to us. Thank you, God, for the incredible blessings that you work, even in the midst of things like suffering. I pray for strength this week, this next week, God, as we live it out. Help us to find and prioritize your word. Help us to get connected to other believers on a regular basis. Help us to not resist and push those things aside and try to argue, well, I really don't need it. Man. Help us to not resist those incredible gifts. Help us to get plugged into small groups. Help us to get plugged into your word. Help us to see the suffering that we go through as a way in which you're refining us and growing us. Lord, we thank you for being a vine that's so good. Thank you for the strength that you provide to us, your spirit, to remain connected to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit strengthen you this next week. May he continue to fill you with everything you need as you remain connected to him, as you abide in him. Go with peace in your heart. Go with joy and love for others. In his name, amen. Have a great week, y'all. You're awesome. Booyah.